Well, good morning. I'm going to put that up so I don't forget it. It's been fun to watch the journey you guys have been on as you've been going through Ephesians for a while now. You're nearing the end. I'm not quite the end, but I'm pretty close. So that's just been fun. And so to start off, I just want to read the passage that we're talking about today. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Give you a little time if you want to look it up in your Bible. If you happen to be watching online, we'll have it up on the screen. We'll just dive into the Word. So it states, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." As my dad just said, this is a little surreal for me, because I'm used to being there, and he's usually here. So our roles have flipped, at least for today. And it's been a really fun blessing to prepare for today. And I guess before I get into the lesson that we're talking, I probably should tell you a little bit about myself. We talked a little bit about myself yesterday, but it's more about how God has gotten me to this point right here. A while back, it was 2009, and God decided that he had had enough of me doing things my way. And so he just started stripping away all the things that I had put in between me and him. I'd put a lot of material things in between, like a big house. A nice truck is a nice truck. I love that truck. Making sure my kids were in the best sports teams, going to all their activities, running. I mean, running around so much I couldn't go to church. I was too busy with all this other stuff. Well, 2009, God said, "Okay, that's enough. I had called you to something else, and I want you back." So he just started pulling those things away. And through that process, he put me in a position to where I was driving between Lincoln, Nebraska and Ottumwa, Iowa, every week, back and forth, for a year and a half. Well, 8 hours total, just me and him, windshield time, that'll change a person. And it did. And through that process, he just started drawing me closer and closer to him, to where I eventually moved to Ottumwa, Iowa. And by your weather outside, I would call that the Deep South now. But through that process, he also then, everything that he stripped away, then he started to bless me double. So right now, I have an amazing family. I have an amazing wife. Her and I are both just fully in love with Jesus, seeking after him every day. And then through that, I have a total of 9 children now and 11 grandchildren. So it gives my dad some bragging rights there. So that's just been awesome. In fact, this isn't the complete picture of our family, but it's close. There's some siblings here that are not in this picture. Some spouses have been added. Several grandchildren have been added that weren't in this picture. But I wanted you to kind of see the perspective of our family. Also, I heard that if I show you a picture of my family, you're 30% more likely to be attentive in the message. So I figured if I show a big picture of my family, maybe we can get that to 45. So we'll try that. Through this whole process, then he's allowed me to steward 2 different businesses. I am an architect by trade. And then he led me into being on the prayer team at my church, and now I'm in a leadership role on that prayer team. A little over a year ago, I was just contemplating where God had taken me. I mean, this was the beginning of 22. And I was just amazed. I mean, I was in a good place. How could this possibly get any better, right? I was doing what God had called me to do. He had led me through some amazing things. And then I realized, well, there was an experience I had to where I went to a men's conference. In fact, it was called Stronger Men's Conference. And when I say men's conference, this was a man's conference. And to just describe the atmosphere, when you walked into the lobby of the arena, they had all these Bugattis and Lamborghinis and Ferraris, you know, every Italian sports car you can imagine, just sitting there so you could watch in awe. And then we came in, and the opening scene, the opening act, I would say, I don't know if I could call it an act, but it included a monster truck, it included pyrotechnics, it included pro wrestling, it included Indiana Jones Jeep scene with gunfire, I mean, heavy metal guitar. This was a man's conference, right? It was amazing. And yeah, they did teach about the Bible. We prayed. It was awesome. The second day, one of the keynote speakers, Lou Giglio, pastor of Passion Church, he got up on stage and he said, there's someone in this room. I just sense there's someone in this room that's going to be in a totally different place a year from now because of what God's going to do in your life. And I turn and I look, there's tens of thousands of men worshiping and praising God. That's a safe bet. Probably going to happen, right? And didn't think anything of it. Well, then I realized 2 weeks later, every day, that had come to my mind. In fact, if you were to ask me about that conference, there's two things that I really remember without going back. The opening scene, yeah, and what Louis Giglio said. So I started to think, okay, is that a message for me? So I was praying into that. Lord, if this was for me, what are you talking about? What are you calling me into? About 2 weeks of that went by. And then all of a sudden, he gave me a name of a pastor to pray for. Okay, so I'll pray for Pastor Phil at Kirkville Church. Prayed for him. Oh, hey, don't forget about Pastor Marty. Okay, yeah, that's my pastor, Pastor Marty, so I prayed for him. Oh, pray for your dad, but not as your dad, as a pastor. So I prayed for him. And that day, he gave me five different pastors' names to pray for. It happened the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Not all of them five, but over 30 days in a row, I was given at least one to five names of pastors to be praying for. So I started keeping a list. And that became part of my daily, is okay, now I'm praying for these pastors. That leads me up to the beginning of June. Went to another conference. This was a leadership-type conference. The title of the conference, Ask, Seek, Pray. In fact, the theme song, we played it yesterday, one of my favorite songs. But in that process, it was very clear that God was calling me into a ministry, and it'd be a ministry of prayer. What that looked like, I had no idea. But I don't know. What does that look like? I have no idea. So I began to pray, okay, if you're calling me into a ministry of prayer, what does this look like? And it took me about 2 weeks of prayer, and then I mentioned it to my wife. And we talked, and she said, if he's calling you this, you got to do it. You got to. But we need to make sure it's his voice, not yours. Okay? So we prayed that, and then I needed to go to a church event that evening called On Board. And it's for people who want to learn more about our church and come in and volunteer and work in the church. So I was there, and two people at my table, two guys said, hey, what's God calling you into? And I just said, well, I'm just right now asking God if I'm hearing his voice or my own. And immediately one of them said, hey, come here. And he started praying over me. And he prayed, he said, Lord, I pray that you would give a double anointing into the ministry that you have called him to do. Now, I hadn't mentioned ministry, prayer, any of that. So that was sign number one. Right after that, I got home, and Blake, my second oldest in Lincoln, he texted me, asked what I was doing. I said, well, I'm sitting on the couch contemplating whether I'm hearing God's voice or my own. What are you doing? Well, I'm sitting in my recliner wondering if I should call my dad for some fatherly advice. So I called him. we had a great conversation about what he was going through, prayed with him. And then he asked, so what are you talking about? And I said, well, I just want to make sure it's God's voice, not mine, whatever he's calling me into. I didn't mention what. He said, is it big? And I said, oh, it could be huge. Yeah. You mean he's like calling you in to be a pastor or something? That was sign number two. So at that point, It was like, okay, God, I know it's your voice. I'm going to follow whatever you have me to do. And what I thought was a good prayer life was just simply a good start. And so now the time that I get with my Heavenly Father in prayer, it just continues to grow. And he opens up more and more of himself to me each time that we meet. So when I'm asked to pray, I eagerly accept, because that gives me more time with my Heavenly Father, with Jesus. And that brings us to what we're talking about today. So the scripture, Ephesians 6:18, it starts off, "And pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion." The first word is "and." It's not "or." See, the "and" ties praying in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion with the armor of God, with everything that came before that in that chapter, what you learned about 2 weeks ago. We put on the armor of God. Why? Well, because we're in a battle. And what kind of battle? We learned about that. This battle isn't against flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty power in this dark world, and against the evil spirits in the heavenly places. It's a spiritual battle, not a physical one. But what I have learned is that the spiritual realm is more real than the physical. It affects our physical world each and every day. So when we go to battle on the spiritual side, we are having an effect in our physical realm, our physical world. So to just kind of summarize this, as we're praying to, what we're trying to do with the armor of God is we prepare for battle, right? We learn that we need to stand strong, we armor up, and pray. Not "or pray," and pray. See, prayer is an essential piece of that armor of God. It's the seventh piece of the armor of God. In fact, I would put it that prayer is the heavy artillery, the long-range missiles. Prayer is the thing that breaks down the strongholds that are before us so that we can go in and fight. Another way I look at it is prayer is what rips open the heavens and brings the full force of the power of God against our enemy. We know that that enemy is there. He's bent on destroying us exactly where we stand. So that's why we pray. We "and" pray in the Spirit at all times. Now, in order to do that, we need to understand what is prayer, right? Need to understand that prayer isn't just merely talking to or at God. It's talking with God. Josh McDowell, this is a great quote. He describes prayer like this. He says, "Prayer is talking with God. God knows your heart and is not so concerned with your words as he is with the attitude of your heart." See, prayer involves listening to God, hearing his voice, knowing, understanding that he sees you, where you are, what you're going through. And he knows what's best for you. So the first thing that we need to do, and if you have a bulletin program, there's some sermon notes in there, I think. So I got some fill in the blanks for you. So first thing we need to do is stop talking. That's your first fill in the blank. Stop talking. Have any of you ever been in a conversation that just seemed to never end? Maybe you're talking with someone and they may have started the conversation with a question for you. And then as they state the question, that leads to another thought, and then they talk, and then another thought, and then that leads to another thought. And before too long, you've forgotten what the question was. You're kind of like, "Oh, I don't know what's going on. And now that I think about it, should I bring chicken home tonight or pizza?" And you're totally lost from the conversation because it's just a never-ending talking, right? Well, I find that my prayers can tend to do that as well. I bring before God, and it isn't because he doesn't want to hear my request. He does, but I just bring request after request after request, talking and talking and talking. And all the while I'm wondering, "God, why aren't you answering me?" And I'm looking for him to answer the questions that I have for him, but all the while I keep asking questions and keep bringing requests. I can just imagine what God is going through as he's trying to interject into the conversation. I mean, he could be going... If this guy would stop talking for a moment so I could get my word in, I could truly help this poor man, and it would be so simple. See, the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew's accounting when Jesus' disciples went to him and said, "Teach us how to pray." And this is Jesus' response. He says, "When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him." And then the next thing Jesus said was, "Pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven." He gave us the Lord's Prayer. But before all that, he said, "Bring your heart to it. It's not the words, it's the heart." Next one. As we pray, if we're going to listen, if we're going to stop talking, we're going to actually listen to what God has to say, we need to learn the sound of his voice, right? We need to know what he's saying, that it's him saying, just like when I was praying, is it my voice or yours? So we need to know the sound of his voice. In the book of John, Jesus, talking about himself, tells the story of the good shepherd. And he tells that his sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. And in this same passage, Jesus talks about a thief. And the thief is trying to steal the sheep. In fact, it says the thief, the enemy, is there to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief, the enemy, Satan, the one we're at battle with, he's cunning. He's shrewd. And he's determined to make sure that we don't hear God's voice. In fact, the last thing the enemy wants is for us to hear what God has to say to us. He knows that God's word is truth. He knows that God's word gives us life. He knows that God's word is full of love, joy, peace, patience, fruit of the Spirit. So Satan is going to do everything he can to keep us from hearing that voice. And a strategy that he does all the time is he just turns up the volume. It makes more and more noise all around us to try to drown out the voice of God. You may be wondering, well, what's that sound like? Okay, he fills our thoughts with lies. They're all lies. Things like, "You aren't even good enough. You know how many things you've done wrong? You aren't even a fit mother. You remember how you treated them that day? How could you listen to God?" "Do you even think your children like you?" "In fact, you can't even provide for your own family. It really isn't worth your time. Why even bother? You deserve more. In fact, you should be the one that decides what's right. You should do whatever makes you happy." They're really, and it just keeps going on. And then you try to do what makes you happy, because that's a lie that the Satan has entered into your mind. And then the next lie comes, "Well, you can't do it, so there must be something wrong with you." And he just keeps pushing you down. Certainly God made a mistake when he created you. And you're the only one that can fix it. And then we just feel like everything is hopeless and we're full of pain. And these lies, they just keep coming over and over, and the volume keeps getting louder and louder. And then before too long, the ideas that Satan has placed in our mind start to feel like they're our own thoughts and not his. And then before too long, we start thinking that they're true. And then before we know it, we're calling what was evil good and what was good evil. And we've fallen into his trap. So with all the noise going on, and it's around us all the time, how are we going to tell the difference between God's voice and the lies of the enemy? The enemy wants us to be confused. He wants us to feel alone, abandoned. That's where he attacks us. But we got to realize we're never abandoned. And through Christ, there's always hope. See, God uses every resource he possibly can to speak to us. Here's some examples. His word, the Bible. He loves using the Bible to speak to us. Other people, family, friends, our pastor. He uses our own thoughts, our imagination. He created us with an imagination so he could speak to us through that. Sometimes he uses an audible voice to where you actually hear his voice. And it says in the Bible, he uses animals too. There's been accounts of that. So he will use every resource possible to speak to us. The enemy also uses many of those same resources. He'll use our thoughts. He'll use friends, family, strangers to try to knock us down. He even tries to hijack God's word, twist the truth into a lie. Seems like a partial truth. Seems okay. In fact, twisting God's word, that was one of the things that Satan tried to do to Jesus when Jesus went out into the wilderness and was fasting and praying. But Jesus, what did he do? He spoke the truth of God's word and overpowered Satan's manipulation. So here's how we tell the difference between the enemy's voice and God's voice. The enemy's voice will always point us away from God and to ourselves. Pride. Pride is at the core of every lie that the enemy tries to speak into us. He uses our own selfishness to twist truth around into what we think is a believable lie, even to the point to where we start to feel it is true. In fact, he did this very thing to Adam and Eve. When he tempted them into going against God's instruction, he caused them to look at themselves first instead of looking to God first. So like I said, anything that points us first to ourselves, that's the voice of the enemy. Now God, when he speaks, it's always true. And his voice always points us to him or our identity in him. His instruction, his answers, his affirmation of us is always in a way that is filled with truth. It points us to him, and it produces the fruit of the Spirit within us. The other thing to understand is that the voice of God is always in alignment with Scripture. In fact, the Word of God, the Bible, is the ultimate test for anything that you think may have come from God. We learned a couple weeks ago, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, right? It separates dark from light, good from evil. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So God's Word is always true, and it always points us to him. That's his voice. Another verse I think is interesting. Proverbs 28:9 says, God detests the prayers of a person who ignores the law. The law is his word. So we're talking about prayer and pray in the Spirit at all times. Well, if we're ignoring his word, what does the Bible say that God does with our prayer? He detests them. We talked about this a little yesterday, but the key for God's word to be effective in our life and allowing us to hear God's voice, number one, we have to read it. It cannot be effective if we don't read it. But as we read it, then God reveals to us that our ideas are in alignment with his word. Then that also shows us that now we understand that this is the voice of God It's not of the enemy. Alignment, again, needs to be in complete agreement with the Scripture. There's no such thing as partial truth. There is absolute truth and absolute lie. There's no gray. So that just means that if you're wondering, if you're hearing from the voice of God, if a part of it agrees with His Word and a part of it doesn't, it doesn't. It isn't. It's really that simple. I wanted to use this verse. We talked a little bit this morning about praying through the Word of God. And I just want to kind of give you an application to be able to do that. This is a verse I chose. It's Psalm 16:11. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. So as I read this, I would pray, Lord, thank you so much that you have shown me that the way of life is through you, through your Son and the death that he had on the cross, shedding his blood so that I may have life. Thank you for granting me the joy of now being able to come into your presence fully and completely. And in that, I can have pleasure and hope of living with you forever. And that's just a simple example of praying through God's Word. The next thing, again, we're talking about and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and request. The next part about prayer is we want to make sure we have Spirit-filled prayer. Spirit-filled prayer. A lot of times we tend to believe that Spirit-filled prayers are based on a method of praying. Yesterday we learned some methods of praying, and they're good. And I'm not saying that a method of prayer is bad. A lot of methods we think, well, maybe a Spirit-filled prayer is when we kneel, or when we stand, or when we put our hands up, or in our pockets, or eyes open, eyes closed. You know, if we pray prayers from the Bible, that's Spirit-filled prayer. Or if we're praying prayers from great biblical scholars in church history. Or we're praying prayers that we use here in church, or praying prayers from the Prayer First booklet that many of you got yesterday. See, these are all good methods of prayer, and they can be indications of a Spirit-filled prayer, but that doesn't mean that it's Spirit-filled prayer. Spirit-filled prayer is one that brings us into the presence of God. It's not dependent on any one specific method. It depends on our heart posture, our surrender, our humility in Him. Luke 18, Jesus gives us an example of two people praying in the temple. One is a boastful religious leader, and he comes in and hands up and praying real loud, boastful in his prayer. And then the other one is this despised tax collector. And he comes into the temple weeping and kneeling, just falling before the Lord, asking for mercy. And what Jesus stated is that the sinner, the tax collector, he returned home and was justified by God. But why? He was justified because he had a humble heart. So it wasn't the method of prayer. The tax collector could have prayed with his arms wide open and had a humble heart. The reason Jesus said that he was justified is because he had a humble heart. I've been reading a book called Transforming Prayer by Daniel Henderson, and the way he describes a Spirit-filled prayer is a worship-based prayer. One of the quotes in there is so good. It says, if all we ever do is seek God's hand, we may miss His face. But if we seek His face, He will be glad to open His hand and satisfy the deepest desires of our hearts. See, Spirit-filled prayer is a heart condition that aligns our prayer with the will of the Father. So when our heart aligns with His, that's when we understand that God just isn't just listening to us. He's speaking with us in our prayer. See, at that moment where we have our Spirit-filled prayer, humbly coming before God, now our prayer goes way beyond being part of our daily life, but instead it's how we live our daily life. That's how we activate the full armor of God. So that as we and pray in the Spirit, at all times and on every occasion, we need to be in Spirit-filled prayer. The next piece of this scripture says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So, what's next? We need to stay alert. So we've learned what prayer is and that we're listening. We know how to understand and recognize the sound of God's voice. But now we need to stay alert. And why do we need to stay? How do we stay alert? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Never stop praying. I remember when I was younger, so like 5-7 years ago, something like that. The idea of always praying just seemed impossible. And really, frankly, boring. I mean, come on. I got things to do, right? I got a house to keep up. I want to go on a date with my wife. There's a football game on. I got to watch that. I got golfing to do. I got hunting to do. I got work. I got all these other things. How could I possibly be praying all the time? Never stop praying. How is that even possible? And really, when you think about it, I mean, how can anyone really do that? Even if it is talking with God. That just seemed impossible to me. Now it doesn't. See, praying all the time, now that brings in your conversation and your life in communion with God. So everything that you're doing is with Him. And by doing that, then we're able to stay alert and always keep on praying. Reminds me of the story of Gideon in the book of Judges. If you remember, God showed Gideon that he was going to be the one to lead the Israelites into victory against their enemy. And Gideon gathered all the Israelites in his clan, his tribe together, that were of the age, able to fight, gathered them all together. And then God tells them, hey, those that don't want to fight, those that aren't willing, yeah, just send them home. Which I'm sure wasn't real hard. Well, if you don't want to be in the battle, go ahead and go home. Okay, I'm out. It cut the number by two-thirds left. Then the remaining 10,000 people, now God said, okay, take them on a march, on a walk. This wasn't just a little walk down the block. Take them on this march, and I want you to go to this specific spring, brook. And by the way, it's right by the enemy camp. And after they've marched this long way, just watch. Watch the soldiers. And those that are not staying alert, the ones that are not paying attention to their surroundings, send them home. So Gideon did. And it was the 300 that stayed alert. That's the ones that God used to bring freedom to the Israelites. Stay alert. See, we need to remember that the enemy that's against us, he doesn't attack us when we're at our strength. He doesn't attack us when we have people around us. Instead, he attacks us when we're alone, when we're isolated, tired, when we're vulnerable. Maybe a better word for vulnerable would be comfortable. We start feeling comfortable, and he tends to attack us at that time. That's when our guard is down, right? When there's no one around us. But prayer at all times and on every occasion, that keeps us alert, keeps us connected with God. So we're ready for the attack when it comes. So yeah, when we grasp that idea, prayer and worship is how we include God in our lives, that's when we find out that everything we do, everything we say is done with Him in mind. And in this way, the only way that we can stop praying is if we take our eyes off of Him. So again, by including Him in all we do, we never stop praying. We're always alert. Our armor is never taken off. We're fully prepared for the battle. Next one. So, it says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. So how are we to pray? The King James Version uses this word. Hopefully you can see that. Supplication. It's a big word, right? But it starts with S, and so it fits real nice. The word supplication is in replace of that phrase, keep on praying. And I like the word supplication better because it further defines what that means. Supplication is defined of asking of something humbly, earnestly, and persistently. So this is saying we're to pray with a humble, earnest, persistent prayer. For what? For all believers everywhere. So we're to be praying persistently for our church. We're to be praying persistently for our family, our friends. And through prayer, that's how we build God's army. Right? We're called to pray for our pastors, our leaders of the church. And through prayer, then we cover each other so that we're stronger together than we are alone, because we know the enemy loves it when we're alone. 2020 was a huge evidence of that. We have to remember that, and I'm going to say this because it hits my heart pretty hard because my dad's a pastor. But our pastors are fighting with us. They're fighting for our family. They're fighting for their family at the same time. They're fighting for the church. Our pastors need prayer. They need the prayer of supplication, earnestly, persistently, humbly, bringing them to the Lord in prayer. And then we go on. So it says, Paul says, pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So as we earnestly, humbly, persistently pray, what are we to pray for? Well, we're to pray that we are given the words of the gospel. See, we're using prayer to activate that armor of God, which gives us that fearless courage to boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. That term, mystery of the gospel, is fascinating to me. In fact, just studying that passage, another translation says the same thing as God's mysterious plan that the good news, gospel, is for Jews and Gentiles alike. Well, that tells us the mystery of the gospel, the good news, is for everyone. His redemption, his salvation, his unending grace, his everlasting love is for everyone. No one's left out of his plan. He extends that same opportunity to us all. It's up to us to accept it. And we see here that Paul is in chains, right? But even in chains, even in his bondage, what is he asking for? He's asking for prayer that he fearlessly, preaches the message of the gospel. We're to do the same thing. We're to boldly proclaim the good news to everyone, regardless of our circumstances. We talked a little bit about this morning. And as I think through my own life, pretty recently, I had an opportunity to share the gospel to one of our kids, and I didn't take it. I regret it to this day. So I asked God, give me another opportunity. I won't let you down. So then on Easter Sunday, after church, this is amazing. we're all standing around, lunch is about ready and everything, and I had some of our children that I didn't know were going to be at church came. That was amazing in and of itself. And we're getting ready to eat lunch, and then one of my grandchildren, three-year-old, Mateo, I asked him, hey, how was Bridge Kids? How was Children's Church? Oh, yeah, I had fun. Did you play with your friends? Yeah. And then he never talks about what they learned, even if I prompt him, but this time he did. And he said, Jesus died. And then he came back to life. And I said, yeah, isn't that awesome? Why did Jesus die? Well, he died so that we wouldn't have to, so that we could live. Oh. Well, why did he come back to life? Well, he came back to life so that we could have that same everlasting life with him. Oh. So why did Jesus die? Well, Jesus died so that we wouldn't have to. Oh. And why did he come back to life? And this went four times. And you got to understand, I've been praying for the other people in that room to hear the gospel. And we were in the middle of the room, and I was not keeping my voice down. And neither was he. So God gave me the opportunity through a three-year-old to speak the gospel to those in that room. Always be looking for opportunities to preach the gospel. So again, just to summarize, I don't know if I have a slide for that. Yep. Yeah. We stop talking, let God listen. We know what the sound of his voice is like. And if you've never heard it, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that here in just a second. We come before him with spirit-filled prayer, worship-based prayer. The method that you use can be many, but it's the heart posture that's important. We keep ourselves alert through prayer, ready for battle, ready for the opportunities as we persistently pray for those that are lost, those that need God, and then we look for the opportunities to speak the gospel, the salvation. Because Paul said, I'm an ambassador in chains. And so are we. We're here on earth, but we're ambassadors to fearlessly and boldly speak the gospel. That's why we pray. That's what we pray for. So with that in mind, we continue to pray. So again, as I said, I want to give each of you an opportunity to listen to the voice of God. First, I guess I want to lead us through two prayers, okay? So the first prayer, this is for those who have never accepted Jesus before as your Savior. You've never given your life to Christ, so you may be here. You might be watching online. And if that's you, first I want you to know, Jesus knows what you've been through. He knows that nothing really maybe makes sense right now. And he knows that the feeling you have all around you is the enemy is coming after you. And you know it. But for some reason, you're here right now. You're listening to this message. And now Jesus is calling you into his family. And now it's ready for you to have that relationship with him today. So, again, if you're here watching online, this is if that's you and you're ready to make that commitment, then just simply pray this with me. You can do it out loud or to yourself. Either way is fine. Jesus, I know that I'm lost. I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that you are the only one that can save me. I know that you died on the cross for me. You've been searching and pursuing me my whole life. So Jesus, please forgive me of my sins, come into my heart, and cleanse me with the blood you shed for my sin. I give you all of myself. Show me how to be the person you created me to be. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. The second prayer, this is for everyone, okay? And what I'd like you to do, this is, if you could just relax, you can close your eyes, and just place your hands out in front of you, palms up. And this just allows us to have a physical representation of where we're placing our heart, ready to receive. We're in a posture of surrender to Him, okay? And remember, we're going to pray to hear God's voice. And this is a form of worship. This is how we put on the armor of God. This is how we prepare to do His work. So again, with your palms up, Lord Jesus, I thank you for all that you have done for me. Thank you for the sacrifice you made on the cross for my freedom. Thank you for cleansing me and bringing me into your family. I ask that right now the light of your Spirit would shine on me and reveal to me anything that is trying to come between you and me. I want to have the full presence of you in my life. So Lord, as you reveal to me things that have been put between us, I ask that by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, you would remove those from me, and I freely give those to you. And as we continue, just put your palms down. And as you think through what anything that God has revealed to you as we're praying, you can pray something like this. Lord, I confess and I let go of the things that I have placed between us. I no longer want them in my life. I no longer want anything to be between you and me. So again, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I cut off all the lies of the enemy, the lies that have kept me from hearing your voice. I cast those off of me. They will no longer have a hold on me. And then we come back to turning our palms back in the up position, and we're ready to receive. We pray, Lord Jesus, I am fully ready to receive your blessing, the blessing of your presence in my life. I long to hear your voice, and I'm ready to listen to whatever you have to say to me. So right now I ask that you would please speak to me, reveal to me who I am in your eyes. Lord Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you for all that you've given to us, for the sacrifice on the cross, tearing down the veil that's between us and our Creator. I thank you for your never-ending love and grace. Thank you for revealing to each one of us who we are as we pray and as we read your word and as we lift each other up in prayer. I ask that you place a special blessing on each person that is here today, each person that hears this message, and especially on those that is touched by others who put into practice the power of prayer in our lives. So, Lord, as you call us to battle, remind us of who you are, but also remind us whose we are. We're a child of the King. And only in you we are victorious. So we love you, Jesus. You are our Lord, our Redeemer, our rock, and our salvation. We pray this in your name. Amen. So as the worship team starts coming up, a couple things. One, I truly hope in that moment you're able to hear the Word of God. It came, could have came to you in a thought. Maybe He gave you a verse that you need to go look up. Or words of a verse that you can't remember exactly where they came from. If you didn't hear anything, that's okay. God speaks in His own time and in His own way. And you may hear that later on in the day. You may be given a verse, you may be reading in the Bible, and oh, yeah, that was it. So just remember what Jesus said. He says, seek and you will find. After we finish this last song, I do want to invite anyone that wants prayer. I'll be over there. Be happy to pray over you. If you just want to sit where you're at and reflect, I'll come to you. That's fine too. If you happen to pray that first prayer of salvation, I definitely want to pray for you. So please come and see me. And yeah, thank you.